saying thank you? Is it natural? Is it easy for you to do or not? How quick are you to say thank you? So that's what we're going to look at today. And the story is found in Luke chapter 17. I'm going to start reading at verse 11. And you can follow the verses on the screen in front of you, behind me, or in your Bibles. And try to picture the scene in your mind as we read this story. Luke 17, verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now let's stop there for a second and write this down, point number one in your app notes. Saying thank you starts with a need. Saying thank you starts with a need. Here in Luke chapter 17, we are introduced to Jesus, right? We're told that he's traveling to Jerusalem, and while he's en route, as he crosses sort of the border between Galilee and Samaria, Jesus, we're told, encounters who? 10 lepers, right? Who are standing at a distance. They're near the sort of the village entrance. And as they see Jesus, they start calling out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, as most of you know, in that day and culture, according to the strict religious rules of that the Jewish faith, if a person had any kind of a skin disease, any kind of a rash, any kind of bumps, you know, on your skin that was, you know, people could see, you would be required to remove yourself from the general population until it was determined that your skin rash or this thing that's on your body was not contagious. And so if a person was afflicted with leprosy, such as the 10 men that we read about here in our story, the social requirements and the restrictions were even harsher. Because a person with leprosy in biblical times, as most of you know, they were forced to live in the outskirts kind of town, in these colonies, away from the general population of healthy people. Which explains why these 10 men are calling out to Jesus from a distance. Saying thank you always starts with a need. Now think about this. How did these men know who Jesus was? I mean, if people with leprosy were segregated, socially segregated from the general population, how did these 10 men know who Jesus was? How did these 10 men even know what Jesus looked like? You know, if you were to skip back a few chapters to Luke chapter 5, we could read a story where Jesus healed a man who had been afflicted with leprosy. So think about this. Do you think that there's any possibility that the leper of Luke chapter 5 may have known the lepers here in Luke chapter 17? Do you think there's any possibility that the leper of Luke chapter 5 may have lived among the lepers of Luke chapter 17? The Bible doesn't say, but it's hard for me to believe that there would be a lot of leprosy colonies. I kind of think if you had leprosy, you would probably all kind of live in the same arena. Would you agree with me on that, sort of? I suspect and I propose that the story of the leper's healing in chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, was a campfire story among the lepers of Luke chapter 17. I suspect that every man, woman, boy, and girl who lived in the colony awoke every morning with the dream that today might be the day when I encounter Jesus too. And maybe he'll touch and heal me. I propose that every leper within the walking distance of Jerusalem knew what Jesus looked like. They probably had heard the stories of how Jesus had healed other people, not just their buddy from Luke chapter 5. And so if you were a social outcast, if I were a social outcast in need of an amazing miracle, my hunch is that you, like me, would have been on the lookout for Jesus. Is that a fair assumption? because he alone had the ability to do what no other person could do. He alone could heal me. He alone could heal you. And so on this day, as Jesus and his disciples are making their way into a village, we read how 10 men stand at a distance and they're calling out to Jesus, hoping for a miracle of their own. Saying thank you always begins and starts with a need. Now write this down, point number two. Saying thank you grows from a request. Saying thank you grows from a request. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. You know, brothers and sisters, can you think of a time in your life, or has there ever been a time in your life when you were desperate for some supernatural assistance? You know, maybe some of you here today, maybe some of you watching online today would admit that you're in a place right now in your life where you could use God's miraculous touch. You know, have you ever prayed the prayer, Jesus, have mercy on me and heal my broken marriage? Jesus, have mercy on me and heal me and free me from this addiction that's ruining my life. Jesus, have mercy on me and restore my broken relationship with, and you fill in the blank. Have you ever prayed a prayer where you have asked Jesus for his help? If so, then you can likely identify with the truth that saying thank you is always grows from a request. So how does Jesus respond? Look at verse 14. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. Go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, question, why go show yourself to the priest? What role did the Jewish priest play in the leprosy community? Do you remember? You know, as most of you likely know, in Jewish religious settings, the Jewish priest was the health inspector. That was something that God had instructed the community to set up centuries earlier with Moses. In fact, if you're in your Bible, go to the book of Leviticus. So from the beginning goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So it's the third book from the beginning. And let's go to chapter 14, Leviticus chapter 14. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. I think that'll get some context for why go to the Jewish priest. Okay, Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 14, verse 1, this is what we're told. And the Lord said to Moses, the following instructions are for those seeking ceremonial purification from a skin disease. Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest. And then the priest would do this, you know, kill all these animals and do these major, you know, sacrifices and whatever to sort of say, God, thank you for healing this person from this disease. And so from the very beginning, God, through the prophet Moses and the leader Moses, instructed the people to go to the priest. Brothers and sisters, look at me. Jewish priest equals social health inspector. Jewish priest equals social gatekeeper. And so the reason Jesus wanted to send them to the priest is because he knew that the priest was the one that would either give them the thumbs up or thumbs down for them to be reintroduced into the community. But you know what I love about this interchange between these lepers and Jesus? I love the fact that Jesus not only hears their call for help, but he also engages them in the midst of their pain. Jesus engages them in the midst of their social separation. Jesus didn't reject them. Jesus didn't pretend he didn't hear them or see them. You ever know what that's like, right? We see people and we just kind of keep walking as if you go into the store and you see the person, you know, whatever, asking for money at this time of the year. Or maybe I'm the only sinner in the house. I don't know. Like, how many people can you give money to, right? I guess until you run out. But we see people and they have a need and we just keep walking, or we pretend we don't see them or notice them, or we don't want to be bothered. I know it. I can't be the only one who does that. But Jesus, we're told here, he looks at them. He engages them. And then we're told here that he invites them to take a step of faith by going to the priest. Point number three. Saying thank you is nurtured by action. Saying thank you is nurtured by action. Saying thank you always starts with this need. It grows from this personal sort of request, and then it's nurtured by action. You know, there's this popular African proverb that most of you have probably heard before. It goes like this. It says, when you pray, move your feet. When you pray, move your feet. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Go show yourself to the priest. When you pray, move your feet. And as they went, the Bible writer tells us that the leprosy disappeared. Look at verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Now, point number four, write this down. Saying thank you is catalyzed by an experience. Saying thank you is catalyzed by an experience. The Bible writer tells us here that when one of the lepers realized that he was healed, what was his response? He went back to Jesus, didn't he? He was healed. Translation, there's always time for you and me to say thank you. Saying thank you is catalyzed by an experience. Now let me hear you say the phrase out loud, be the one. Ready? Be the one. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, be the one. Brothers and sisters, don't identify yourself with the nine who was healed and went on their merry way without expressing any kind of gratitude to Jesus for his compassion on them. Rather, be the one. Be the one to say thank you. Thank you, Robin, for the card today. I don't even know what's in the card, but thank you. Thank you, Millie, for setting up the hospitality table today. I haven't had anything yet, but I might. Probably will. Thank you, band, for playing. Thank you, Chance and Joseph, for taking time to practice this week. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for getting them here. Right. Thank you. Be the one. Be the one who stops in the moment of a miracle to express to God your gratitude. Be the one. You know, I wonder how often God answers our prayers and we never say thank you. Notice Jesus' response here in verse 17. Let me read it again. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? He says. Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now write this down. Point number five. Saying thank you produces an exponential return. Saying thank you produces an exponential return. Friends, I propose that when this leper, this Samaritan leper now cured, returned to say thank you to Jesus for healing him, I propose that he received a whole lot more than a physical healing. You see, when we say thank you, combined, that has been combined with faith and gratitude, I propose that something supernatural takes place. Something that produces an exponential return. You know, I have observed, and I suspect many of you have too, that when a person lives their life with gratitude, that person is generally someone who's fun to be around, right? Do you know anybody in your circles? Have you ever experienced that? Anybody in your life who just lives their life optimistic? They just kind of live their life with a sense of gratitude. And even when things aren't going so great, you know, they have this mental wiring to go, it's going to get better. Things are going to turn around. And they're just life-giving when you hang out with people like that. You see, a person who's quick to say thank you is someone who's usually humble. They're usually other-focused, which means they're usually kind and forgiving. Excuse me. And when you spend your time with them and you walk away from them, you just feel better about yourself. You feel filled up. You feel right. It's like when someone gives you a hug, you don't ask for a hug, but hey, good to see you. You just go, oh man, I feel so full. I feel refreshed. I feel renewed. But have you ever spent any time with someone who's narcissistic? Who all they care about is their own opinion. All they care about is their own needs. You know, after you're walking or spending any time with them, you kind of walk away feeling discarded, dismissed. Like they didn't really hear you. Like they didn't really care. You feel kind of empty. Brothers and sisters, with God's help, don't be that person. Be the one. With God's help, follow the example of this one Samaritan man healed now, who was quick, maybe even before going to the priest. I don't know if he went to the priest. Maybe he did go to the priest, got the thumbs up, but he came back. He came back to Jesus to say thank you. He came back to express his gratitude. Be the one. Be that person. Why? Because saying thank you always produces an exponential return. Think about this. Have you ever given a gift to somebody? You give a gift to somebody and they just go, wow, thank you so very much. How does that make you feel? Touches your heart, right, Jerry? It causes you to go, wow, that was really cool. Maybe I should do more of this. You know, when you give a gift and someone takes that gift and they build on it and it changes their life, it just fills you up and you go, wow, this generosity thing is kind of fun. I want to do more about it, which is why the Bible says in Proverbs, the generous, he who refreshes himself, he who refreshes others will refresh himself. That's the problem. He who refreshes others will refresh himself. When we give, when we say thank you, it has an impact both ways. It certainly did here on Jesus. You know, generous people need encouragement. Jesus illustrates that truth here. What was the question Jesus asked the one man? Where are the other nine? What's it tell us? It tells us that even the giver is impacted by the receivers. Are you with me? Where are the other nine? It means Jesus was, I'm grateful for this one man, but gosh, I'm a little disappointed that maybe these other nine didn't realize what a miracle could have been they could have tasted in their life. Saying thank you to people has a domino effect. Brothers and sisters, saying thank you is a big deal. So in closing, at the bottom of your app notes are three legacy questions that I want you and encourage you to ponder this week. Look at them. Question number one, what need do you have that you would love for Jesus to heal? Okay, let's start and identify with the lepers here for a minute. What need in your life do you have that you would love for Jesus to heal? Is there anything broken in your life that you would love for God to touch? You know, in a moment, we're going to say a prayer together before we take communion. We're going to celebrate communion today, which is, you know, represents Jesus' gift to us of salvation, his death on the cross and forgiveness of our sins. And in a moment, we're going to to celebrate that. But before we do, we're going to say a prayer together. And in this prayer, I'm going to give you an opportunity to go before God like these 10 lepers did and say, Jesus, I got this need in my life. Will you meet that need? We're going to ask Jesus to do a miracle in our life. So what need do you have, if any, that you would love for Jesus to heal? That's the legacy question number one. Legacy question number two is, what life experiences have you had that you're grateful for? What life experiences have you had that you're grateful for? And number three, similarly, is who is God poking you to say thank you to? You know, every time, Norma, you walk into this auditorium with a smile on your face and a bounce in your step, you just exude this appreciation for the gift of life, because for, you know, wasn't very long ago, just a few weeks ago, where you were in the storm. You know, and James says to me today, you know, she's getting better. Right? That's what giving does. That's what saying thank you does. But it causes all of us to just be appreciation for what God's doing in our life. When we say thank you and God does a work in our life, it has a ripple effect. It's exponential. There have been people in your life, in my life, who have done something for us. Who's God poking you right now to say thank you to? Maybe just pull your phone out. I'm giving you permission. Pull your phone out if you haven't. Send them a text. Just, hey, just thinking of you this morning. Just want to say thank you. So let's go to prayer, okay? Put your phone down for a minute, even though I just told you to text somebody. But put it down for a minute, okay? Let's put our palms open. Just close your eyes for a second. Not that there's anything spiritual in that, but just it helps. And I want you to just, in your mind, I want you to pray this prayer. In your heart, pray this prayer. Say, thank you, God, for, and then you fill in the blank. Thank you, God, for, you fill in the blank. You know, anybody come to mind who's invested in you? Someone who maybe God has used to shape your life in some way? Just say, thank you, God, for, you fill in the blank. Put a name there. Put names there. Names of your family, names of your kids, names of maybe someone who believed in you when you were really young, gave you your first job. Or thank you, God, for the way you did this miracle in my life. And then, you know, when Robin and I bought our house 25 years ago, we made an offer. We had not very much money, and in faith, we prayed about it, and we made an offer to a home, and the homeowner had two higher offers, but she took ours. That's a miracle. Thank you, God, for this home. And every time I walk into this home, I see this, like, wow, we live in a miracle house. Thank you, God, for. So again, what are you thankful for? Who's impacted you? Thank you, Lord, for Carol Smith, who 25 years ago decided to take a lower offer, even though she could have made money, to invest in a young couple who are starting a new church, like called Palm Harvest. Thank you, Lord, for Carol Smith. Saying thank you always starts with a need. It grows out of a request. It's nurtured by action. It's catalyzed by an experience, and it produces an exponential return. So let's say thank you right now. Thank you, God, for. Now, we're going to celebrate communion, which means we're going to give us an opportunity to think about the fact that Jesus forgives us for our sins. And so maybe some of you have a sin that you've committed, either today or this past week, or maybe there's something that just keeps poking you. The devil just keeps poking you. And even though Jesus has long forgiven you for it, it's still there. That nasty reminder is still there. Will you just take a moment again to say, Jesus, please forgive me for, and then say, Jesus, in faith, thank you for forgiving me for. Ask Jesus right now, brothers and sisters, with faith and gratitude to heal you. Heal you from your anger. Heal you from your hurt. Heal you from your bitterness. Heal you from the betrayal. Heal you for that one thing you said or did that, gosh, you just, if you could do it over again, you might. Just say, Lord, please forgive me and heal me. Thank you for healing and forgiving me. Now pray this in closing. Say, Jesus, please help me to be quick to say thank you. Please help me to be quick to say thank you. It's in your name that I pray these things. Amen and amen. Amen.